fam, welcome back to the World That's Good podcast. I am so stoked for this Wednesday because we have the most special guest maybe that we've ever had. Should I say that? I've had my husband on here and my mom, but this girl is a rock star and I love her. We happen to share a room for pretty much our whole life until I got married. We have Bella Robb, my sister, on the podcast. Welcome, B.
Hello, hello.
Y'all, it was like pulling teeth to get this girl on the podcast. We've had some big names on the podcast, but Bella Robb was one of the hardest to get. I had to call her assistant. I'm just kidding. She doesn't have an assistant, but I'm so thrilled that we finally have Bella on the podcast. Bella, we're going to ask you the same question. I say we. Who's we? It's me. I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody. What's the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
The best piece of advice I've ever been given is a quote by Billy Graham. My friend told me it this past summer, and it changed everything about the way I live, about the way I do relationships, and about the way I love people. It says, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and it's only our job to love.
Let's go.
I remember her telling me that, and ever since that day, I've never done relationships the same. I've just learned, like, it's really not my job to convict people. It's not my job to judge people. It's just my job to love them, so I just have to meet them where they're at.
Let's go. Y'all, 17 years old, just dropped the bomb. Yes, it was from Billy Graham, but even the fact that you're listening to Billy Graham or take notes from Billy Graham is huge. He's honestly one of my favorite, like, preachers of all time because he just says it how he is. But that's such good advice, Bella. And that's hard because a lot of times we like to step into that role of convicting or judging, but it's just our job to love. That's like our greatest commitment. So I love that. Bella, everybody learns so much about you. In fact, this week, Bella graduated high school a year early. So she worked her butt off. And in our little graduation speech that my parents did, it was so much about how everybody learns so much from you. And you're only 17. And so where do you feel like that wisdom beyond your years comes from?
I think from my mom. Obviously, our mom's the best. She's so great. She's so wise. And I think that she's really taught me just like, to be a quick learner and to like learn first and learn fast. And like, I think that that's really helped me in life and like really been a turning point for me. Like when she taught me like learn first and learn fast after that day, like ever since then, I've just picked on whatever she says, whatever she says, I pick up on and I learn it and I want to be like her. And I think that she's so wise and me wanting to be like her has made me.
That's so true. Okay, that's so crazy because you don't know this, but I just interviewed mom for something else. And I asked her what's her passion behind like teaching a younger generation. And she said, I'm a learner and I want to teach people that. And so the fact that you do is so cool. And you are so much like her. That's awesome.
Yeah.
A cool fact about you that probably most people don't know. I mean, they might know from following you on Instagram. By the way, coolest Instagram ever. I've always been inspired. I'm always like one trend behind you on Instagram. But she writes poetry and she's done this for a long time and it's really good. It's not just like the 13-year-old girl who writes poetry like I did and then it was like, don't show anybody that. That's embarrassing. Like Bella's is like good. It's gold. And one day she wrote this poem about I am a lion finding its roar. And it was so powerful. And I just want you to tell them about the poem. If you remember it, say it. If you don't, you don't have to. But just where that comes from, because I think that there is so much good advice within those words.
Yeah, it's funny. I've written so much poetry since that day that it's like, that seems so little to me now. But it really was a big part of my life at the time. But at the time, I was probably 14 or 15. I think I was in eighth grade. I was in an English class and my teacher told me to write a poem about an animal and relate it to life. And I wrote this poem that said, I'm a lion finding its roar. I was once a shadow, but now I'm much more. I will no longer be silent. I will no longer be still. I'm a lion who's finding their roar. And that really came from like being in the shadow of Sadie, which was like something that really wasn't there, but seemed there, I guess. It wasn't something that was like actually my life or my story, but it felt like it at the time. And Sadie had just finished Dancing with the Stars and was just like killing it, rocking and rolling, moved to Nashville. And everyone started saying like, oh, you look just like Sadie. Y'all look so much alike. And I was just like, okay, like, who am I? Like, mm-hmm. who am I, though? Like, me and Sadie, yes, we look so much alike. And, like, yes, we're sisters. But, like, we are so different. And, like, who am I in that? And, like, how do I grow into who I am without being Sadie, you know? And, like, everyone wanted me to do the same thing. And, like, I felt pressure to, like, go on and do Days of the Stars and be all this and move to Nashville. But really, like, who was I? And so I wrote that poem about finding a roar and, like, finding my own self and not living in that shadow anymore, but coming out of that and finding who I was. And honestly, like, poetry for me has been something that, like, even if I don't know what I'm thinking, like, I can sit down and write, and by the end of it, I'll know exactly where I'm at.
Yeah.
I can sit there and be all, I can be sad or I can be happy about something, but not really know what it is. Just be, like, low or something, and I can start writing it on. By the end of it, I can pinpoint exactly where I'm at and what I'm thinking. And that for me was kind of that poem. Like, I didn't really know that's what I was thinking. I didn't really know that was the feeling I was feeling. I didn't know that I was struggling with comparison or with living in the shadow. And then I wrote that poem, and I was like, wow, this is so true. Like, I need to find my own roar. And once I could get it out there, then I could actually work on it and I could actually do it.
I'm telling you, 14, she wrote that. And 17, she's pouring that out. And I'm so thankful, Bella, that you write and that you share and that you're vulnerable and real, because it frees us to have the relationship that we do have. Because a lot of people take that little ounce of comparison and they run away from the person. And you took it and you did something with it, and we continue to run to each other. And it saved our friendship, our sisterhood. And it's so cool, y'all. God's so intentional. Like, he knew when he put us in the right family, like, to be sisters. Let's just talk Enneagram for a minute, because I think this is, like, so true to just God setting our personalities perfectly to be sisters and the role that we're at. I'm a six, which is, like, the loyalist. I'll be Bella's homegirl till the end. We shared a bed forever. Like, we're together. But Bella, do you want to tell them what you are?
Yeah, I'm a four. So the individualist.
Which might not be shocking to you after her poetry.
Yeah, I'm a four, but I always test two, but I am a four. And I've had some identity crisis in the past year. I'm like, I'm not a four, I'm a one. Or I'm not a four, I'm a nine, but I am a
four. Just very four of you.
Yeah.
But I say that to say that, you know, God knows who he's putting in a family a lot of times. And she's a four, and the individualist. And I'm a six, the loyalist. And, you know, we've gone through a lot together, and our family's gone through a lot, but we continue to be loyal. And Bella individually has just been a rock in our family. Like, she's just been a friend to everyone. Everyone loves Bella equally. I mean, she might be everybody's favorite sibling, and I'm okay with that because she's mine too. No offense, everybody else. But no, she's the best. Bella, I think one of the things that everybody is drawn to by you and kind of amazed by you is your confidence. Mom talks about that. You were confident since you were born. Like, you just were. I remember whenever she was little, I used to tell her to go do stuff for me. I'd be like, Bella, go get me water. Bella, go do this. Because, like, she's 5 years younger than me. And one day, she so brutally messed up her R's and said, I am not your servant. I'm not a servant, okay? And then she said, I'm a girl and I am out of this world. And she, like, sassily stormed off. She's just confident. She's not going to let you run over her. And that's something that so many 17-year-old girls struggle with. Like, and then so on and so on. People 40 struggle with their confidence. I'm 22 and there are times where I struggle with my confidence. And I know you struggle too. You're not perfect. But what would you say, and just some advice to give with somebody who's like, how do you find confidence?
Yeah. Something that I always hear is, like, you don't just wake up one day and look at yourself and say, I'm beautiful, and think that and believe it, but you have to choose it. And I hear that a lot. And for me, that really hasn't always been the case. Like you said, like, I really have been confident in a sense since the day I was born. But I think something that I've realized is, like, I really do trust God, and I really do believe his ways are best. And, like, if I believe that, then how, like, can I look at myself and say, like, this isn't who I'm supposed to be, or this isn't what I'm supposed to look like? Because, like, if I really do believe I'm made in the image of God, and if I really do believe that God's plans are perfect and that God makes perfect things and God makes things how he wants them, then how could I look at myself and want to change that? That's kind of what really changed it for me. Like, I do struggle, and, like, I did struggle a lot when I first got into high school, but I really had to sit down and be like, okay, God, like, I believe, like, if I'm going to sit here and believe that you're going to make my life how you want. If I'm going to sit here and trust your will, then how can I not trust that your will was still the same perfect will when you made me, you know? That really kind of has been like a rock for me. Like, okay, like even if some days I wake up and I'm like, I don't really feel beautiful and I want to put on makeup and I want to change how I look. Okay, but God like really did make me in his image and really did make me perfect. And then like in his eyes and like, if this is how it was supposed to be, then this is how I'm supposed to look. And like, I don't want to mess with God or I don't want to like change what God made. If he made me like this, he made me like this for a reason. So and I don't even want to offend God by him like thinking that I think I'm not beautiful in his eyes or I think that his creation isn't perfect, you know?
That's so good. I love that, Bella. You're so spot on. And that's kind of how it was for me too. You know, I had this moment where I had to like sit down with the Lord and wrestle to find my confidence. I think confidence for most people, like it's the easiest thing to fake for a lot of people. And so people see it and they're like, oh yeah, I want to be confident because people make confidence all about appearance or accolades or success. And that's just not where confidence is found. It's the easiest thing to fake and the hardest thing to really obtain. But when you find it in the Lord and you sit down, you kind of go through that wrestle of like, this is what I'm insecure about, but God, this is what your word says. Like that's when you have true confidence that is unshakable. Like you can go through any season of life and you're like, hey, I have confidence, not in what I look like, not in my successes, not in my thing that everybody else sees, but on the inside of me. And you have that so beautifully. I've seen you go through times where like you won't wear makeup or brush your hair or get ready, and mom, it kind of drives mom crazy, but you're like, girl, I'm confident, like the Lord's working on me.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, something I like you really have to sit down and say is like, okay, what is beauty, you know?
Yeah,
like, what really is beauty?
And that's
like,
good.
Some one of my favorite stories with mom is like, mom does like, it bothers mom when I do not like get mad, and I know it bothers her too, so I kind of push her with it too, but I like never really wear makeup that much. I don't really brush my hair that much. And when we were fasting as a church, I decided to fast makeup, which is funny that I fast that because I don't really wear it ever anyway. So it's funny that I would do that. But I do wear it on days when I don't feel like I look as great or I feel like less confident. And that was my point of fasting it. Like, okay, like on the days when I do feel like I need it, like I really don't and I need to surrender that.
Yeah.
And so I remember one day, it was like almost the last day and I had not told anyone I was fasting that. I just did it. And then I said, Mom, it's crazy. I'm almost 21 days without makeup. And she goes, oh, I'm so glad you said that because I was getting worried about you.
She came and talked to me.
Mom. And I was like, what? And I looked at her and I said, and I love my mom and I love her so much. But I said, Mom, that is not right. I was like, if you think that I need makeup to be beautiful, then you are not right.
And she does not think that.
And she does not think that at all. But it was a funny conversation to have. And after that, I really thought about it. Like, okay, like, what do I believe about it? You know, and that was a good thing. For me to have like a check, like, okay, do I really, what do I really think?
So good. You know? And for the record, my mom really does not care at all what we look like, but she is one to be like, all right, let's like pick ourselves up, put ourselves together, you know, just to like succeed in the day, go on about life. It's not really about wearing makeup. It's just about like getting ready. Yeah. And she was like, Bella hasn't gotten ready in like 2 weeks. I'm like, I think she's like working on her confidence. But that's the thing, guys. Like, if you're a girl out there and you struggle and like surrender the things that are your like safety net, like I'm confident because of this. And if it's anything about your outward appearance or something that is fleeting or will fail, like get rid of it for a little bit and like find confidence in your heart. All right, Bella, one thing I want to ask you about is your friendship with Kaylee, because Kaylee is Bella's best friend and she is a rock star. Some of you may know Kaylee because she does worship for me a lot of times when I do Devos on LO Fam or LO Sister now. But you guys have the funniest sayings. Y'all are a camp cabin walking on wheels. Like, it's hilarious. Give us some of you and Kaylee's sayings, because I think that those in himself should be like, whoa, that's good pieces of advice.
Oh my goodness, me and Kaylee or something. But one thing me and Kaylee always say is, you get chapped, you get up, you get better. It's like, you get beat down, you get raw, you get exposed, but after that, you got to get up and you got to get better. And like we say all the time, get chapped, get up,
and it's funny, they say all these and they have scripture to back it, but that one's Proverbs.
Yeah, the righteous man falls 7 times, but they get back up. And that's what we say, you get chapped, you get up, you get better. And then another one we say is, so me and Kaylee started a ministry here in West Monroe. It's a women's ministry, women's gatherings seasonally. And when we started it, we made a rule book
love it.
All the things that we were going to keep each other accountable of, and we were going to keep in our friendship and in our business relationship, I guess. And we created a little motto. We say, we're Cultivate LA. We are go-getters with a yes in our spirit. We will stay teachable, humble, and servant-hearted. And we say that all the time. We'll stay teachable, humble, and servant-hearted.
The best thing, truly, is when you and Kaylee do it at the same time. And it's like, we are Cultivate LA, and we will stay teachable. Yeah. It's the best thing ever. But I love it because, you know, a lot of times when you go into camp or you go into a new job or whatever, they have these, like, motivational sayings or taglines or mission statements. And it's important that they have mission statements because it sets the tone of what the business or what the camp or what the place will do. Well, Kaylee and Bella and their friendship, they have essentially a mission statement.
Yeah,
and it's so cool because you see it come out of their life. Like Live Original for my team, we have a mission statement. One of the things that we do is we always try to remind each other of the original person that they are, that God created, and we try to be better sisters and friends. So sisters and friends has become our thing. We're like, are we being better sisters and friends? And that really carries everything that we do. And that's the base of everything that we do. And so for y'all, everything that you do is humble, servant-hearted. And it's really cool to see that. And so I just wanted to share that with people because I think, you know, friendships, a lot of the times people have hard times with friendships. And guess what? Hard times are going to come with friendships because they're your friend and life's hard sometimes. But when you have a mission statement or you have intentionality behind a friendship and it's built on something bigger than yourself, it's built on what God's done in y'all's life, what God's doing through y'all, then you create an unshakable bond. And I've seen that for you and Kaylee.
Yeah, it's also, it's a great reminder. Like something else we say is we always say space for grace. Like give each other space for grace. Like the second you start to think you're like judging someone or you're like, you're running out of patience for someone, we're like, hey, give them space for grace. You would want the same space for grace, wouldn't you? So I think it's just a great reminder, like, okay, space for grace or get chapped, get up, get better. Or like another thing we say is we say Motel 6. It's like, leave the light on. Like Motel 6's motto is, we'll leave the light on for you. And we say the same thing. We're like, Motel 6, leave the light on for them. Like, we're going to leave the light on all night. If you need me, like, at 2 a.m., I'm leaving the light on for you. I'm a Motel 6 for you.
I love that. Motel 6, baby. Let's go. See, I'm telling you, so much comes out of them. It's hilarious. And it's so good. All right, let's see. I feel like there's so many things I could ask you. Let me just do a little behind the mic. Are we going to relationships?
You can.
Okay. See, that's a sister and a friend. You got to ask a girl. So if you haven't seen Bella Rob's Instagram, there's a new boy in the picture.
Yeah, there is.
All right. But we're not just going to talk the juice. You know, I'm not here to spill the tea, if you will. I'm just here to ask advice because a lot of people out there always want relationship advice. Trust me, you can read any DM on any Instagram account I have. Relationship advice is the number one question that we get. But, you know, you and Jacob, I guess it's okay if I say his name, you did tag him. Y'all were friends before y'all started dating for a while. And I know a lot of people wrestle with just, and not to mention that we're all just friends. You were single for a pretty good bit before you and Jacob started dating. People oftentimes ask me, how do you wait? Like, how do you wait? How do you not get, like, impatient? And honestly, I'm curious, too, because I saw you be so patient with that. What's some advice you give to somebody just waiting?
Advice I would give to someone just waiting, I think, is that, like, people always say, like, the second you're not looking, you're going to find someone. And, like, as much as that's true, I think, like, really the saying should go, like, the second you start living your life, not for that sole purpose to find someone, is the second you're going to find someone. And I think,
well, that's good.
And I think that's kind of what happened for me. Like, it's funny because it's probably the fall of this past year, probably like December or November, I told Kaylee, I said, Kaylee, look, I need you to keep me accountable to this, okay? And I said, do not let me date anyone until I graduate. I said, I don't need to date anyone else. Like, I just need to be single. And, like, I am one of those people who, like, I never want to put a limit on anything. Like, I never, not a limit on anything, but I don't want to ever, like, be like, I'm not dating for a year. Like, just because I don't want to close the door to things that could happen. Yeah,
what if Prince Charming walks in six months later?
That's my exact thoughts. And so I like have always said that, but I was like, I'm just saying this to you though. I'm not going to tell everyone this because obviously it could change, but don't let me date until I graduate. I don't need to. She was like, okay. And then it was actually funny because Jacob actually told me He liked me, wanted to be with me.
Side note, Jacob is Kaylee's brother.
Yes. But he told me that the day I graduated, and he had no clue about any of that. And I didn't even remember it. Kaylee reminded me the next day. She was like, Bella, do you remember you told me don't let you date until you graduate? And this all was happening on the day you graduated. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. But what I realized is like, I really did like during those, 6 months, like I really did like live my life for God and for friendship and for my relationship with other women and my relationship with girls and my relationship with mentorship and with discipleship. Mm-hmm. Like I lived my life for that and not to find someone or to be with someone. I didn't worry about that much. Yeah. I really was living my life for the sole purpose of God's will and for the sole purpose of getting God's word out there. And that was what I lived my life for the past 6 months. And I still will live my life for that. But it was funny because over these 6 months, I didn't even have to think about it. Like, that's just what I lived my life for. It's then it all came, you know?
It's awesome.
And yeah, I think too many times people say, like, don't look and you'll find someone. But it's really live your life and you'll find someone, you know? Like, they always say that quote, like, run, like, when you're running after God and, like, you just look over and you'll see it. And, like, that really is true. And I didn't realize it until I really realized, like, the essence of it is really just don't let that be your main focus every day.
That's true. That's true. That's so good. What a word. Y'all, that's so true. What she said, like, don't look, just live. Because it's almost like, you know, whenever somebody's like, don't touch me. And you're like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Because like when you're not supposed to touch that person, that's the only thing you can think about is like annoying them and touching them. It's like when you say don't look, a lot of times you're like so distracted at the fact that you're trying not to look that your mind's still consumed. But when you just surrender that and just start living out the life God's called you to, you're so free. You're not thinking about anything. Next thing you know, literally the man you're getting married could be right beside you. You're like, hey. And months go by and you're like, oh, wait, hey. I feel like that happened with you and Jacob and with me and Christian. And that's so true.
And that's the thing too. Like when I was sitting there, like thinking about it every day and like, I didn't have to go around and tell all my family and friends, like I'm not dating until I get graduate, you know, like I didn't have to have that pressure of everyone being like, oh, well you said, you know, like I just told Kaylee and I said, look, keep me accountable to this. And like, I'm going to try to do this. If I mess it up, it's okay. If I start dating someone, it's okay. It's not the end of the world, but I want to try this and I want to follow God in this. And like from that day on, it all worked out, but I didn't have to like go around and tell everyone and have that pressure of everyone being like, you said, you know?
Yeah, that's but so tough.
I just told Kaylee, I said, keep me accountable to this, but if I don't do it, it's okay. Space for grace, you know, but I'm going to try this thing. And like, if it works, it works.
I love it.
Like God really did walk me through that.
That's so good, Bella. That's so good. Y'all, I told y'all, she's 17, but she mighty. Everything in her is just pure gold. If you read in Luke, it talks about how there's treasures in her heart. And it talks about how the good person, good treasures come out. The evil person, evil treasures come out. And it's so beautiful because when I talk to people, I always pray a prayer that I would find the gold in their life. And essentially, I'm like, I want to find those treasures. Like, I didn't tell you any question I was going to ask you. I just started asking questions. But I know you're a good person. There's good treasures in your heart. And with every question I asked you, gold came out. And that just shows that you're in the Word, that you love the Lord, you surround yourself with the right people. I've seen your journey of life. It hasn't been perfect, but it's been beautiful. And where you're at, I could not be more proud of you. You're awesome.
Thank you so much, good.
I love
Thank
you.
Thank you. I love you too.
All right, fam, literally fam, we just have my little sister Bella on the podcast and she dropped some truth. And did she not only drop truth, but she also hyped up my mom. And now we have my mom on the podcast.
Aww, that's so nice.
Yep.
You know, we're all about the fam.
We're all about the fam. And y'all are part of our extended fam.
That's right.
So, hey, but mom, as always, we're going to go through some good and bad advice that was sent into the Will That's Good podcast Instagram. So thank you, everyone who sends in your advice, because we laugh and we love it. All right. First piece of advice. Now, I don't know quite what this is applied to, but the advice is CYB, which stands for cover your butt. When I read cover your butt, I think like modesty, right? But it's not actually talking about that. It's talking about like cover your butt.
Like, and watch your back. W-Y-B. Watch your back. Yeah. It's kind of a like cynical advice, I feel like. It's kind of like, things aren't going to be good. So you better watch out, you know? Yep. So I don't really like to live my life that way. I just kind of like to live my life and just do the right thing and try to just treat people well and believe that they're going to treat me well. And that maybe that's kind of like a Pollyanna optimistic view of life, but you know, I feel like it makes life good.
No.
And then whenever something goes wrong and someone, you know, doesn't treat you right, maybe you're a little bit surprised, but I don't think that's a bad thing to be surprised whenever somebody treats you wrong. I think you should look at people with a positive and trust them until they teach you differently. And then whenever they treat you differently, then you do something different.
That's good.
But I don't really think you should kind of live your life with the mindset of having to always cover your butt.
That's good. Love that. Good advice. All right. The next one. Now, this one also, I feel like it goes so many ways. And I just want you to speak on this because I think people view like being on your phone as a bad thing. But yes, at times it can be, but there's also like good to it too. So they say, always try your best and stay off your phone.
I would add to the end of that when you're around other people.
Yes.
Because when you're around other people, you need to be present with the people that you're with. And so I think, yeah, there's a ton of good things that come from your phone. Like yesterday, I spent the whole day reading like Ravi Zacharias quotes and listening to podcasts with him because he passed away. And it was just like, I just wanted to remember and look at all the amazing things he had said and done. And there's so much good stuff out there. But when you're with others, you should be present in the moment. Mm-hmm. So put the phone away when you're in the presence of your friends and fam so that you can actually have a real conversation.
So good. And let me tell you, mom really holds to that. If she sees anybody at dinner with their phone, she's like, phone, phone, phone. like under the table. Yeah, phone,
phone. Trying to be subtle phone. About it. So not to embarrass them, but I'm like, all right,
so funny.
Give them the look.
Yeah, so mom just mentioned Ravi Zacharias, and he just passed away this past week. By the time you're listening, it might be 2 weeks, but we just love Ravi and just his ministry. He is such a good and faithful servant. I so believe he's hearing those words in heaven from our Father. If anybody doesn't know Ravi, I strongly encourage you, go on YouTube, look him up, go to Passion this year. He spoke, I had the honor of speaking the same day as him, so I was able to meet him, and he prayed over Christian and I. Just a solid gentleman, and not to mention one of the wisest men that has walked the earth, especially in our generation.
And I think if you're looking for good advice, then you can definitely find it in Robbie's writings, his words, all of that. Just so much of what he said just comes from a deep, like, well of wisdom. And I know a lot of people feel that way about him, that the things that he said has changed their lives and changed their eternity. And that's the best thing you can say about somebody. So I think it'd be nice to just read some of his words.
Yeah. So we're just going to read one of his quotes. Once again, encourage you to go dive in. We are his temple. We do not turn in a certain direction to pray. We are not bound by having to go into a building so that we can commune with God. There are no unique postures and times and limitations that restrict our access to God. My relationship with God is intimate and personal. The Christian does not go to the temple to worship. The Christian takes the temple with him or her. Jesus lifts us beyond the building and pays the human body the highest compliment by making it his dwelling place, the place where he meets with us. Even today, he would overturn the tables of those who would make it a market for their own lust, greed, and wealth. Ravi's words are so powerful, and he's just encouraging us that we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to turn a certain direction. You literally are the temple of God. He is dwelling in your heart. So turn inward to him, and that's where you'll find your place of worship.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. I have so much fun doing this. I hope y'all have fun listening. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at LegitSadieRob and follow the podcast at Whoa, That's Good podcast. Head on over to liveoriginal.com to see when I'm in a city near you, or visit Live Original blog on our online store, which carries my exclusive Words by Sadie Rob line. Also, be sure to subscribe to my podcast and leave comments so we can hear what you're loving. Also want to give a special shout out to my audio engineer, Marcus DePaula, the whole team at United Talent Agency, and my Live Original team. You guys are awesome. And hey, so are all of you too. Thanks so much for listening.